You know, the Latin word for soul is animas, and the Greeks said that economy, that comes from the Greek word oikonomos, which basically means the affairs of the home. And since we know that the home is the smallest representation of the unit that God intended for man to live in, which is the family, is that where we're going with economics, with soul?
Well, that was a very, very, I would say, almost perfect summary. You know, to bring together the fact that economics cannot be separated from the home, which is the original Greek word of it. The home cannot be separated from the family, and the family as an expression, ultimately, of the love of God for humanity, either husband, wife, children. That's this very fabric of human society. So you cannot separate economics, the home, from human society, the family. So any effort to sort of try to make economics purely mechanical, mechanistic, econometric, about mathematics or supply and demand graphs is missing the point.
But you know, Joseph, I mean, the subtitle of your book is Economics as If Families Matter. Now, you base your book on E.F. Schumacher's work that small is more beautiful. And Schumacher, though, approached the work from an economic sense, a numerical sense, correct? Or did he get into this theory that we were about to talk about as well?
Oh, no, absolutely. My book is merely paying homage to Schumacher. Schumacher's main thesis was that the whole he was an economist. He was originally an economist. He was a Marxist economist who actually came to see the error, first of all, of Marxism, but also of all efforts to, if you like, make economics a standalone science, separate from philosophy and separate from the family. So no, all I'm really doing is mirroring and echoing the work of the great Schumacher here, who was influenced himself by papal encyclicals and also by Chesterton. So we have kindred spirits here. No, Schumacher insisted, and I really reflect this in my own book, is that ultimately the cardinal virtues have to be at the heart of all economic life. So he was very much aware that you cannot separate economics from philosophy, faith, and theology.
And that is a heck of a triumvirate, economics, faith, and philosophy. You write in the beginning of this chapter, Schumacher observed that the conventional economist has been trained to review labor or work as little more than a necessary evil. To the employer, it is merely an item of cost to be minimized, even if it can't be eliminated altogether by automation. To the employee, it is a disutility. To work is to be forced to suspend one's leisure or comfort for something less pleasurable. And wages are the compensation received for the inconvenience. From the point of view of the employer, the ideal is to have output without employees, while from the point of view of the employee, the ideal is to have income without employment. Master Pierce, that is extraordinarily Chestertonian of you.
Well, it is Chestertonian. It's also Schumacherian. Now, the point is that modern economics and modern economic thinking is schizophrenic, and it makes all of us schizophrenic in the sense that we're supposed to be at two different things simultaneously: a producer, in other words, we contribute in some way towards the economy, but also a consumer. And these two things are completely separate, completely divorced from each other, and we're not supposed to see them as synonymous or something which could be synthesized. And what, Chesterton and the church and Schumacher and indeed my humble self as a disciple of all of the aforementioned point out is that actually human work is something which is good in itself, something necessary for a healthy human psyche, and consumption actually is not necessarily a good thing if we're doing it for its own sake. So we need to first of all be living, and we cannot separate living from earning a living.